sometimes you have a parent who has Alzheimer's or something like that. Parent is senile. So the care that they'll have if they'll stay home with the children is certainly going to be much better than the care that they'll have if they go to a home. I think Kuli Alma, hopefully everybody would agree to that. So strictly speaking, the son is the parent. The children are going to take care of the parent at their own home and to service them. The only thing is that a lot of times you have the following situation. Let's say I'm the son, and I say, we have to have my father here. And then I go off to the yeshiva. I go a 6:45, I go to the yeshiva. Goodbye, darling, have a nice day. And my wife has to take care of my father all day long. And I come back, I give a shiur in Queens, I come back, 11 o'clock at night, father's sleeping already. And my wife has the burden of all of the tzaras, and my children. And let's say the father is half senile, or more than half senile, and he doesn't recognize who the grandchildren are, so he's beating them up and screaming at them, and they're petrified and they're scared. So that's not right. The son can say, keep it out, it's better to have the father at home. What do you mean? You're not here. It's not better to have him at home. He's ruining the shalom bayis at home. The wife is going crazy and the children are going crazy. So Kozman, that if it's not unbearable, if they can take it, so there's certainly an obligation to have the parent at home. It's certainly better to have them at home than to have the parent in a nursing home. But if it's going to cause life to be miserable, then the child shouldn't have a guilty feeling. How can I do that? You're not going to do it. No. The halacha says that under such circumstances, if it's considered unreasonable, and very often it will be considered unreasonable, it's going to ruin the whole family structure. So then there's no obligation to have to keep it up dafke, to have the parent stay by the children's home. Then you have no brary, you have the parent go to a nursing home. Of course, the children should visit whenever possible. They should visit the nursing home, and even if the parent doesn't even recognize who it is who's visiting, the din of kibud av, that we have to give service to parents, is not only because the parents will recognize that we're repaying the debt of gratitude, that they diapered us and they took care of us all the time until we got married, elementary school and high school and college and all the way till we got married, so we have an obligation to take care of them the last years of their life. It's not that they should recognize, even if they don't recognize that we're paying back the debt of service. You have to give kibud av, even if they don't even know that you're their son, they don't even know who you are. There still is a din of kibud av, and even if they don't even recognize that there's anybody there, sometimes people reach such a stage, they don't even recognize that there's anybody there, it's still an inyan to go visit the parents in the nursing home, because the staff will certainly take better care of the elderly person if they know that the children are coming. They may come any time and catch them that they're not taking care of this patient. Not taking care of this individual. So it's certainly a mitzvah of kibud av v'yeim to visit the parents as much as possible, even when they're in a nursing home, and even when they don't even know who you are, they don't even recognize that there's anybody there. Sometimes, I remember we went to visit my mother-in-law who just passed away recently, so in the last few weeks of her life, she didn't even know that there was anybody there in the room. You would talk to her and talk, she didn't even recognize there was anybody there. You held her hand. It wasn't so clear that even if you held her hand that she knew that there was anybody there. But still, the care that the help and the nursing home would give to the patients is certainly better if they have someone visiting them. Every day they know that some child is going to come, maybe twice a day. One child comes in the morning, a different child comes in the afternoon. So certainly there is a mitzvah of kibud av v'yeim in such a circumstance. The Talmud speaks about kibud av v'yeim in extreme cases. Talmud gives an example that the son is sitting and the parent is so senile, they come and they start ripping the jacket off of his back. So the Talmud says the son has to let the parent rip the jacket. Now the question is, that's totally unreasonable. We just said earlier that the whole chiyuv kibud av v'yeim mora is only if it's within reason. If it's totally unreasonable, there shouldn't be a din of kibud av v'yeim. So there is an interesting insight that's made by Reb Meir Don, the author of the Kli Chemdo. He points out that we have in Chumash Devarim, at the end of Chumash Devarim, when Bnei Yisrael crossed over the Yarden in the days of Yishuv Ben Nun, and they accepted the brachas and klalos of Hagrizim and Harevo, soon after they crossed over the Yarden, the very first day, or the first day, I think, that they crossed over the Jordan River, so they accepted upon themselves the 11 brachas and 11 klalos. So he points out that these arurim, cursed should be the one who talks Lashon Hara, cursed should be the one who's Masigvul, cursed should be the one who's Mavazeh his parents. curses should be the one who makes an avodah zarah and he hides it in his basement, and so on. A whole list of 11 curses. And then they repeated all of these in the form of blessing also. Blessed should be the person who treats his parents properly. So Rav Meir Don has an interesting insight, and he shows sources to demonstrate that this is so, that these 11 arurim, in the end of Chumash Dvarim, were intended to add on something over and above the mitzvahs that were given already. We have already laws that you're not allowed to steal from anybody else. That the pasuk masig vul must be adding something else. So here also, we have a din of kibud aviyim. So what is added by the pasuk oror makla avivim, or cursed be the one who mistreats his parents. So apparently the rabbis of the Talmud understood that pasuk, the oror, comes to include even if there's an unreasonable circumstance, like the parent is senile, and the child finds it extremely difficult to deal with the parents. So the child has to scream sometimes at the parent, and he has to hit them sometimes. So the Gemara says you shouldn't do it. But how are you going to deal with the case? So the Gemara says in such a case you have no choice. The child should not be there. He should not live in the same city. He should go somewhere else. He shouldn't visit the parents because it's going to be disrespectful to the parents. And he should have someone else take care of the parents. And that's quoted by the Rambam and the Shulchan Aruch from the Gemara. That in such a circumstance, he's not permitted to be disrespectful to the parents, even though he's being disrespectful because their demands are unreasonable. They're asking for something that's absolutely crazy. He shouldn't be there to tie the parents' hands down or whatever on the bed. He should have someone else do it in order that they shouldn't violate this oror. The oror, in the end, the Chumash Devarim is adding on something over and above the din of Kibud Aviyim. One of the Rabbanim from Queens was telling us last year that before his father passed away, his father was senile. And he was a religious man all his life, so he was legging tefillin. So he used to put the tefillin on his leg. He didn't know what he was doing. So this rabbi said, he asked Rabbi Soloveitchik, what should he do? His father's putting the tefillin on his leg. So he said, Rabbi Soloveitchik said, you have to take the tefillin away, not fight with him. When he takes off the tefillin, he should take it away. Don't leave the tefillin in the apartment. That's a bizayin of the tefillin. Shaila about davening with a person. Let's say a person is senile. So does it make sense to daven with a person? So it makes sense. Let's say a person can't say the words on their own, but if you'll say the words, so you'll say two words, they'll say the next two words. You say the next two words, they'll say the next two words. So it is a service. That probably not in fulfillment of the mitzvah of davening if they don't really understand what it's all about. But if it's something that they're used to, so it certainly is gives them comfort. It is something helpful that they're maintaining some continuation of life as it was before. But let's say the child should say with the father, Baruch Atah Hashem, and the father should say, Elokeinu Melech Olam, so that's probably not proper that the son should say, Hashem Shemayim Levatot. It's not a saying a pasuk. Okay, Ashrei, if you're saying psukim, that makes sense. The son should say half a pasuk, and the father say another half a pasuk. But to say a half a bracha and have the father finish it, so if the father seems to understand, the parent seems to understand a little bit what the bracha is all about, okay. So the parent has a fulfillment. I said a half a bracha, he said the other half, and together he's yotzei a bracha. But if he's really out of it, he doesn't understand, and you're just saying the davening with him to maintain some contact with his past, that he shouldn't lose everything that he had. So the pashtus is that would be a brocha levatova, that would be improper. The Talmud points out how difficult the mitzvah of kibud aviyim is. Abaye was an orphan at birth from both parents. The father passed away before he was born, and the mother died at childbirth. In fact, some claim that that's why his name was Abaye. Abaye is a Rashi Tevis of the Pasuk Asher Becho Yerucham Yosam. So Abaye is quoted in the Talmud as saying he thanked the Rabbeinu Shel Olam that he didn't have the nisoyan of fulfilling the mitzvah of Kibud Aviyim because it's really too difficult, because normal people who are blessed with parents really are mezalzel in the mitzvah. Most people are in violation of the mitzvah either when they're younger or when the parents are older. It's a very difficult mitzvah to fulfill. But the psukim tell us that this mitzvah is supposed to be have with it a tremendous reward. In the Aseres Adibus it says, Neman Yarichon Yomecha. The Torah promises Arichas Yomim for one who fulfills the mitzvah of Kibud Aviyim. And in general, we assume that all of the mitzvahs that we do, Benor Machavero, are in order that we should be repaid. The Gemara says, if you dance at other people's weddings and you misamech them, so they'll be misamech, and you'll have a chasaneh. And if deal nicely with our parents and hope and pray that we'll be repaid so that when we'll be in need, our children will deal nicely with us. In the schus that we'll be mechabed our parents, we should be repaid, and our children should be paid, should be mechabed us and give us the service that we will need when the time will come. It's one of the most difficult mitzvahs to fulfill, and the key is we always have to ask a shayla. We usually only ask shaylas on the things that we know have to do with religion, Shabbos. So we don't know the dinim of Shabbos, davening, and kashrus. We know those are religious laws. We have to ask a rabbi. Truth of the matter, the kibud aviyim is also we have to ask an impartial third person, because the klal is whenever it's extremely unreasonable, then there's no din of kibud aviyim. So sometimes the children will just have a guilt feeling. How can we do this? How can we do this? You're not allowed to do that. What's with kibud aviyim? And other times they'll just say, get rid of the parents. They were never too nice to us, and we're not willing to be mechabed them. We want to have a bigger yerusha. They may not say it openly. They may think it in the back of their minds. They may not even realize that they have this in the back of their mind. So the best thing is, in most cases, to ask a shayla of an impartial rabbi, the same rabbi that we ask all the other shaylas to, we should ask the shayla to. May the Rebbe Shalom give us the presence of mind to the ability to fulfill this mitzvah properly.
Sure. Shet will take questions.
Sometimes you have a situation with parents who are as they get older, they get more scared. And they don't, they become less independent, but they really could be more independent if you push them a little. They're Indian as a child to say, I won't come running to do everything for you. There's some things you can do yourself to try to keep their independence. Is that a lack of good aim?
Yeah, to try to convince them that it's l'tayv osam, yeah. Yeah, it's not a lack of kibud aviyim. That's the tayvosa. If you're there in the apartment and they say, could you please do this? And then you're going to insult them and say, no, I'm not going to do it. You should do it yourself. But that's, like I said, that's orah makla over the ima. Even though it's unreasonable, but if you're there in person, you're not allowed to violate their wishes. But if you're not there in person, so then you tell them, I really can't make it. You have to try to explain to them how important it is that they should maintain their nikkur. Sure. Yes.
Even a little late. Some theories say that perhaps it's also the Makom Mechabel.
Right, we assume.
But right. Just some of that set up a lot of other issues and that involves a lot of other reasons for than the ones that you also.
Well, it's usually assumed that the kid, that Bein Odom L'Chaveiro simply is that we owe a debt of gratitude to the parents that they brought us into the world, even if they didn't diaper us, that even if they didn't, let's say, as soon as we were born, they gave us up for adoption. But the fact that they brought us into the world is enough of a debt that we have to repay. Right, that's the question. Is it Bein Odom L'Makom, or is it, why should it be Bein Odom L'Makom?
Yes.
Ah, that we explained that the Talmud seems to say that. The Talmud says that there is a partnership of the parents with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. There are three partners, father, mother, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu, in bringing about any person. So the Torah requires of us to show kavod to the parents. This is an indirect way to show kavod to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Right, but still it's restricted to the case where it's reasonable. If it's a totally unreasonable request, then it's going to destroy my whole normal living, then one is not obligated to do kibud av to that extent.
What is the requirement?
If the parents live in California, how can one fulfill kibud aviyim? The obligation is you have to call on the phone in a timely fashion, you have to send the photographs of the grandchildren, you have to visit whenever it's reasonable, and so on. The tzara is that many people whose parents live far away never call on the phone. My parents lived in, my brother passed away, my parents used to live in Brooklyn, so I feel guilty, I didn't call enough. They lived in Brooklyn and I didn't visit them enough and I didn't call them enough. It showed the pictures of the grandchildren we did. My wife was in charge of that, so she sent pictures of the grandchildren they got had. But to call on the phone, yeah. That's service. That's a chiyuv of kibud. Kibud means to give service, to be mahana, the parents. Let's say, so in my family, everybody's busy at night, so we never see our children. Breakfast, supper, no one ever sees. But on Shabbos and Yom Tov, we all eat together. So we have hanor. The parents have hanor from seeing their children. So if the children decide, every Shabbos they want to go away with their friends. So that's not a fulfillment of kibud aviyim. They know that the parents have hanor from if the case is the parents have hanor from seeing their children on Shabbos and Yom Tov. So then they're mechuyev to spend the Shabbos and Yom Tov with the parents. You can't say that they're never permitted to go to their friends on Shabbos and Yom Tov. That's unreasonable. That's already unreasonable. Whatever is reasonable, unreasonable depends on the society. So in our society, that would be considered unreasonable. They should never go visit anybody else. But that every Shabbos they should go visit friends and cheat the parents of that pleasure of having a Shabbos tish with their own parents. So that's the obligation of giving service to the parents, to be mahana the parents.
The obligation to show up, financial obligation. Right. But if your parents make service, you're better in your own home, and you don't keep them in your own home. Personally, the nursing home, does it change that to be shopping, so they were obligated to pay?
If the parents don't have enough money.
If they have money, but... And you should bring them to your own house, and they
care
of them, but you don't have
the
time to do that.
Yes, theoretically, it depends. If the servicing that parents would require, that I should retire now, because now they're going to need service for the rest of their life. I should retire, so that's unreasonable, that I should give up my whole career. But if they just need service for a week or for a month, a reasonable amount of time, I can take off, I won't be salaried. So strictly speaking, I'm mechuyev to take off and service my parents and lose the salary from all of those weeks. If I decide I don't want to lose the parnassus, so that's my obligation to get them help. They should stay home and I should pay for the help. If the parents want to pay for the help, that's very nice on their part. But strictly speaking, the son is mechuyev, because really the help is taking the place of the son's chiyuv. The son was mechuyev to serve his parents in person. It's always a bigger mitzvah. We always say mitzvah bo yosef and b'shlucha. It's always a bigger mitzvah that the person should put up the mezuzah himself as opposed to have someone else put up the mezuzah. He should do the bedikas chametz itself as opposed to have someone else do the bedikas chametz. So the kibud aviyim, it's certainly a bigger mitzvah. I should do the kibud aviyim to do it, the service myself, rather than pay someone else to do the service. Aside from which, the service will certainly be much better. If the son does it, the service will be much better than if a stranger does it. It's a geitim gonishton, he doesn't care. And it's more of a kibud also, even if the service would be 100% the same. The outsider is going to be paid to do the service, is going to be able to do 100% the same as the son. But still, it's more of a kibbut, even aside from the principle of mitzvah al yosef and mishlucha. It's certainly more of a kibbut, more of a morah, it's a demonstration of more respect if the child gives the service in person, as opposed to having someone else do the service. We're not sure what the neshama knows, what the neshama doesn't know, but there have been many cases that have been written up that a person was in a coma, and then when he came out of it, he told them all the conversations that were going on. So it does make sense, and one should be careful what they say in the presence of a person in a coma. And they should say happy things, say who got engaged, who got married, who had a baby, and so on. It does make sense, but the doctors say, the Talmud doesn't really tell us too much about this at all, but the doctors tell us that it makes sense. The Talmud says, as we mentioned, mechabda b'chai, mechabda lahamos. There is an obligation to show respect for the parents, both while they're alive and after they die. Now, what is defined as respect? So the Talmud says, whatever is the minig, whatever is accepted is considered respect. So if that's the minig hamadina, that everybody goes to visit the cemetery, so then that would be required, that one should visit the cemetery. Some have a tradition never to visit. They quote from the Vilna Gaon a strange story that his father passed away and he went to visit the grave in Vilna, and then he went home and he said somehow he had the sense that it was Mahana, the father's neshama, very much, but it was very bad for him, and from that time on he never went. So many Litvakis, have this tradition from the Vilna Gaon not to visit the cemetery. But most people feel that that's usually assumed, that that's a sign of respect, to show respect to the parents, to visit from time to time. If the parents live in, the parents are buried in the other side of the world, so that's the question, how much can the children afford? Is it affordable to go visit the cemetery if it's so far away? Blazer Telza died in England, and he's buried there on the outskirts of London, and his mishpacha didn't visit for 50, 60 years, I think, after he died, because they just they were busy running away from the Nazis, busy making a panos in America, and after many years, finally, some of the descendants went to visit. Now they go visit every year. But for many years, no one ever went, because they simply couldn't afford it. It was in England, and they lived in Eretz Yisrael, or they lived in America. You assume that if it's going to take away from normal living, then that's too much. So to visit every night and never to be with one's own children, so that's not normal. But from time to time, within reason, so one is mechuyev. I don't know necessarily to visit, I can say to call on telephone, to talk from time to time, and to visit within a reasonable amount of time.
If someone doesn't get along with their parents, and they go to the therapist for help, are they allowed to speak Lashon Hara to the boss of their parents during the therapy?
If it's necessary for their therapy, so they're obligated to. That's good. The prohibition of Lashon Hara doesn't apply whenever it's L'Toelos L'Habor, whenever it's going to improve someone's either my or your or someone else's circumstance. If I tip you off that someone's planning to murder you, that's not Lashon Hara. It's an obligation. I have to say. Either L'Toelos for you, L'Toelos for me, or L'Toelos for somebody. Chavetz Chaim writes like that. The whole Sefer Chavetz Chaim is about Lashon Hara. So he writes on the first few pages, it's not permissible to talk Lashon Hara. But then the rest of the book, he tells you when there's a mitzvah to tell Lashon Hara. So he has a footnote, he says, when one is in therapy, it's permissible to tell all the stories, all the Lashon Hara, because that's considered L'Toelos L'Habor.